在线英语听力室 ,tinroom.com, 欢迎您。
Unit 30
Part A You will hear short dialogues. For each dialogue, there is one question and four possible answers. Choose the correct answer, A, B, C, or D. You will have 15 seconds to answer each question, and you will hear each dialogue.Only once.
1. Weren't the Himalayas formed when India was forced into Asia?
Yes, but there's a bit more to the forming of the Himalayas than that. We must also consider that the Eurasian plate from the north was moving south and pushing against the Tibetan plateau. The Indian plate was pushing north at the same time. Both forces were quite equal.The land had no place to go but up, and this was the start of the Himalayas. Through millions of years of plate pushing, the Himalayas grew higher and higher. Today, they reach 29,028 feet.
2. The current population of the United States falls within which range of numbers?
Between 250 million and 300 million people.According to the 2000 census, the US population is 281.4 million. That's 32.7 million more than in 1990.
3. Africa is home to how many independent countries?
53. Although it's only the second largest continent in the world, Africa is home to the highest number of independent countries.Asia, the largest continent, is home to 46 countries. More than 1,000 different languages are spoken in Africa. And the most populated African country is Nigeria, which has 129.9 million people.
4. What is the largest desert in the world?
The Sahara Desert in Africa. The Sahara may be the king of the deserts today,But 10,000 years ago, it wasn't even a small spot on the desert radar. Back then, it wasn't even a desert. Northern Africa was covered by grass and shrubs, and some records suggest there were rainforests and swamps there. Scientists say severe climate changes occurred in northern Africa about 4,000 years ago. Gradually, increasing temperatures and less rainfall,eventually turned the area into a desert.
Part B. You will hear dialogues or monologues. Before listening to each one, you will have 5 seconds to read each of the questions which accompany it. While listening, answer each question by choosing A, B, C or D. After listening, you will have 10 seconds to check your answer to each question.You will hear each conversation only once.
Questions 5 to 7 are based on the following interview with Steve Rollins, a mountain rescue volunteer. How do you fit your rescue life into your everyday life?
It's not always easy. You work all day, then go home to have dinner, and then your pager goes off. In 2 seconds, your world turns upside down.An hour later, you're up on a mountain in the dark, in a storm, looking for some lost guy.
How many of these dark nights have happy endings?
Well, I think there are degrees of happy endings. We do 4 to 5 body recoveries a year, and 1 or 2 searches where the person is never found. The rest of the time, we find the people. Whether or not they're injured is another thing.
How do you feel about the people you rescue?
Most of the time you feel really good, like you've done a good job, and what you've accomplished is really worthwhile. Sometimes I grow a very close bond with the people I've rescued. Often victims will keep writing you emails and stay in touch. I still hear from a few every so often. The only victims I feel particularly frustrated withare the ones who didn't use any judgment whatsoever. Not, you made a dumb mistake and you need a rescue, but you continued to make dumb mistake after dumb mistake.
Do you have any advice to keep the aspiring mountaineer from becoming a rescue candidate?
You have to take a sport like mountaineering very seriously. You just can't go out and do really hard routes occasionally with no real knowledge. You really need to learn the systems and the equipment and the mountain as a whole. The key components to safe climbing are good equipment, good experience, and good judgment. Make sure that whomever you're learning from, whether it's a guide service or a friend, has all of these things. That won't prevent 100% of accidents, but it can relieve the ones that are avoidable.
Questions 8 to 10 are based on the following talk about Washington, D.C.
Washington, D.C. is the capital of the United States of America. The city of Washington has the same boundaries as the District of Columbia, D.C., a federal territory established in 1790 as the site of the new nation's permanent capital. Named after the first U.S. president, George Washington, the city has served since 1800 as the seat of federal government. It's also the heart of a dynamic metropolitan region. During the 20th century, the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area grew rapidly as the responsibilities of national government increased, both at home and throughout the world. The city is located at where the Potomac and Anacostia rivers join. It is surrounded by Maryland on the north, east, and southeast, and by Virginia on the southwest. Although the city has retained some aspects of its southern origin, it has assumed a much more open-minded character. At the same time, the city struggles with social and economic difference, and a number of its residential neighborhoods suffer from poverty and crime. Washington's climate is hot and humid in the summer and cold and damp in the winter. The average daily temperature range is -3 degrees to 6 degrees centigrade in January and 22 degrees to 31 degrees centigrade in July.